Hello, Kept Faith listeners. 2021 is finally here. The most anticipated Padres season in over a decade is almost upon us, and we want to be there with you every step of the way. Go to patreon.com/thekeptfaith. That is patreon.com/thekeptfaith. And join us today. $1, $5, $10, or $50 million. Those are the only available options. Every little bit goes a long way. Join us today. Join our army, and we will take down all the other podcasts one at a time. Patreon.com/thekeptfaith. We would love to have you a part of our team. And who knows, you might get a free gift here and there or something else. Or I don't know, maybe you'll just get a high five next time we see you, but probably shouldn't touch each other right now, at least for another year. It's nothing personal. It's the pandemic.
Here's the ledger keeper of the Padres canon, Dallas McLaughlin.
Ah, yes, thank you so much, voice. Man, you're just always there. You're comforting. It is the Padres canon. I am Dallas McLaughlin. Thank you so much for tuning in once again. Man, last week was fun. You know what? We did two episodes in one week. You're welcome, America. You're welcome, Padres Twitter. And overwhelmingly, you all decided that Khalil Green, I mean, there was a small, very small percentage of people, maybe like six people or something like that. I don't know what it was. Very small percentage of people voted no. But overwhelmingly, with over 80% of the vote, Khalil Green becomes a member of the Padres canon. So that means everybody put your hats on, take your sunglasses off, show some respect for Spicoli himself. Welcome Khalil Green to the unofficial, official Padres canon. That's right. We move on. We move on to another candidate and another fantastic guest. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy to have this man. One of the first people I met when it came to Padres podcasting, and he's a legend. I say that several times, so I'll say it again here. And he brought with him another legend. Ooh, and you'll have to wait till the end to see how I voted, because I definitely voted the way my heart wanted me to. Enjoy. Today, I am joined by San Diego broadcasting legend. I'm just going to say legend right out of the gate. Voice of the Sockers. Really brain trust of the San Diego Sockers, I would say. The only person I've ever seen wear a suit to a San Diego Sockers game, because I was there when he did it. So he had to have some ownership stake or something. Very happy to have him on. Mr. Craig Elson. Hello, Craig.
Got to look good to broadcast good, you know? I mean... Even got a polo on for this, but no, that's just because I was doing something earlier. That's why.
You're very on brand. Right now, I'm not even wearing underwear. I'm just, you know, you can only see bust up, and that's how I like to keep it.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no worries. Well, you have brought us somebody for the canon today, which I've been, ever since you told me, I've really been tackling how I am going to vote on this. I'm hoping that your argument can sway me one way or another. And we're going to see how that goes. You have brought a legend himself, Mr. Ricky Henderson. Yes. One of the most dynamic, fun players to ever play baseball. But let me give a quick brief, very brief in his case, how he wound up on the Padres. Obviously, Ricky, born in Chicago, Illinois in 1958. And that might sound like a long time ago, because he played as recently as 2003. But... he played baseball for almost every organization there could be. Before he got to the Padres, he was at the Athletics, the Yankees, then went back to the Athletics, the Blue Jays, then went back to the Athletics, and then wound up with the San Diego Padres from 96 to 97, then the Angels, then back to the Athletics, and then the Mets, Mariners, and then back to the Padres for the 2001 season, which was a remarkable season. So two stints with the Padres, and then, as you could tell, 18 stints with the Oakland Athletics.
Yeah.
Mr. Craig Elston, you are nominating him or for inclusion into the Padres canon, or you want him nowhere near the Padres canon?
Of course, for inclusion.
For inclusion
to the Padres canon.
Please give me your argument, please.
Okay, absolutely. So first off, I just want to say I'm loving the series so far. I'm loving what you guys are doing. And on our Padres podcast, Padres Hot Tub, after Fernando Tatis got signed to a 14-year extension with no opt-outs, we were talking about how we're going to have to now, like 10, 15 years down the road, tell all these people, no, there was a time before Fernando Tatis. There, you know, there, this other statue, I know there's a statue that's the size of San Diego of Fernando Tatis over here, but this other little one on the hill, this guy, Tony Gwynn, he was good. This other dude, Hoffman, he was good. So I think Padres canon is important because we've got this glorious present in front of us, but our past has had moments both glorious and tortured. And I think it's important to, you know, the Dodger fans wouldn't have the same type of love of the type of players that we do.
That's for sure. Right? Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But nonetheless, I think there's players who are both lovable and important to the history of the Padres. And I firmly believe Ricky Henderson is one of those players. So, I mean, you said it. We're talking about, in my opinion, one of the greatest players in the history of baseball. And if I was going to write an all-time starting lineup for Major League Baseball, I'd have to either leave out Babe Ruth or Hank Aaron or Ted Williams, because I want Ricky Henderson in the lineup leading off. You know why? Ooh. Because I know all nine guys in my all-time lineup are going to be able to hit, but Ricky gets on, man. That's Ricky true. Ricky gets on, and he's the ultimate table setter. So he comes to the Padres very late in his career, at a very, at a kind of a weird time, right? Because this is right when the Bochy Towers regime is taking over, and we're starting to see, you know, in the mid 90s, these teams come together. And the Padres' first division winner in 1996, the leadoff hitter was 37-year-old Ricky Henderson. And he comes in, and he had Dallas one of the great seasons that the Padres have ever had from a leadoff hitter in 1996 at age 37. He has a .410 on base percentage that year, 125 walks, still the second highest single season total in Padres history, 110 runs scored as well, another top 10 all-time Padres single season total. And he steals 37 bases at age 37. He's like one of those guys who was, you know, trying to hit their age on the golf course.
Yeah.
You know, he's stealing his age in Major League Baseball. And keep in mind, that same season at the All-Star break, the Padres traded for Greg Vaughn. So all of a sudden you had this really weird thing, because Greg Vaughn's a left fielder, Ricky Henderson's a left fielder, you know, who's going to play. And do you remember every day Bochy would kind of make the call, and it would be Ricky one day and it'd be Greg Vaughn one day, and whoever was sitting was unhappy. And through all that into 1997, he gets on, had a .422 on base percentage at age 38 before he gets traded to Anaheim. The only reason he was traded is because Greg Vaughn was there. And they were like, look, we have to nip this in the bud. We're going to ride with Greg Vaughn. But so for that period of time, 96 and half of 97, he did the best job of getting on base of any leadoff hitter in the history of the Bip Roberts, Robbie Alomar, you know, go down the list.
Fernando Tatis Jr.
Did the best job of getting on base of any of them for that period of time.
And you know what's weird about that Greg Vaughn deal is that they went with, at the time, Ricky was 38, and they went with Greg Vaughn, who was 45. A lot of people don't know Greg Vaughn was that old in 1997. I mean, here's the funny thing, because I, you know, your co-host, John Gennaro, and I have spoken at length, at nauseam, I imagine, about advanced stats. And I know you're a big fan of advanced stats. This guy, Ricky Henderson, has to be one of the all-time darlings of advanced stats. Am I wrong? Because you, all those things that you just said for his career, 96 and 97 Padres career, you know, during that time, his batting average was not great. For especially if you're like looking at a leadoff hitter, if you just looked at his batting average, you'd be like, oh no, that's kind of a mess. But the rest of the, but you say that, but how did he score so many runs? Because he got on base. He walked. I mean, the the amount of times, I don't think people even can process right now, 125 walks in a season. I mean, does anybody do that anymore in baseball?
Well, the guys who do it are the behemoths of the sport, you know? And of course, Barry Bonds would eventually set all the walks records because no one wanted to pitch to him. You know, but you'll see like the big time home run hitters are the guys who will usually walk over 100 times. And there's, you know, fewer of those even today that walk that many times. Ricky, of course, not that. Now he could hit a home run, you know, of course, you know, Ricky could turn on a pitch and he could sneak one out past you. He was a fine home run hitter. I'm not trying to, you know, not, he had 297 career home runs, but in the way that he was a sabermetric darling, it's just that on-base percentage is the most important of the stats. Right.
It seemed like that Ricky Henderson to me seemed to know his role and want to be the best at that role.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But just to conclude his Padres case, you know,
A little bit more to get to, but
there,
sure.
No, there is. There is. Because, you know, I when you asked, and I was very humbled to be asked, you know, when you asked who would I include in Padres canon, I wanted to really focus on a time where I was covering the Padres on an everyday basis.
Got it.
Right? And you know, from 2000 to 2003, Ben Higgins and I did pre and post game every single game on Kogo. You know, we were there for spring training for a month. You know, we're around the team every day. Mm-hmm. And the coda of Ricky Henderson's Padres career is so delightful that it demands inclusion in Padres canon. Let us begin, Dallas. Mm. Okay. You can, as Casey Stengel would have said, if he was living now, you can Google it.
die to hear Casey Stengel say, you can Google it.
Yeah. You can Google it, you know, you can look it up. As the kid, you can look it up. That they have lists on the internet of Ricky Henderson's all-time quotes. The number one all-time Ricky quote came from Ricky's late spring training 2001 voicemail to Padres general manager Kevin Towers. Hey, KT, this is Ricky calling on behalf of Ricky. And sure enough, Ricky calling on behalf of Ricky got the job done. Kevin couldn't wait to tell everyone that story. I remember him telling Ben and I, hey, you wouldn't believe it. He said, this is Ricky calling on behalf of Ricky. I could really, you know, I could use a job. And they signed Ricky Henderson. And in the 2001 season, which was this tantalizingly close to good season for the Padres, they had multiple all-stars. It was Tony Gwynn's retirement year, you know, career years for Phil Nevin and Ryan Klesko, both make the all-star game. You know, all of the pomp and circumstance surrounding Tony winding up his glorious 20-year career. Mm-hmm. In and among that, at age 42.
Unbelievable.
Here's Ricky Henderson continuing to play for the Padres. He steals 25 bases at age 42. He still gets on at a .366 clip playing part-time only and scores 70 runs. And get this, in that one season, you know, we're talking again about one of the greatest players of all time. Mm-hmm. And Ricky Henderson currently is the all-time stolen base leader. Of course, he accomplished that with the Oakland Athletics in his first career terms. He was the all-time career walks leader until Barry Bonds passed him. He set that record as a San Diego Padre, a bases loaded walk against Jose Lima, pitching for the Philadelphia Phillies. He tossed the bat on the walk. He flipped the bat on his walk. And Ricky Henderson is, it remains, and hopefully all time always will be, he is the all-time run scored leader in Major League Baseball. What else do you, how do you win games? You score runs, right?
Yep. Yep.
Who scored more runs? Ricky Henderson scored more runs than anybody. And Ricky Henderson set the all-time runs record on an afternoon. I believe it was a Thursday afternoon, but it was a midweek day game. He set it on an opposite field home run toward the Jumbotron scoreboard
mm-hmm.
at Qualcomm Stadium, and he slid into home plate.
Yeah. Oh man. So here's where I'll let me jump in for a second. Well, and also before we continue, stolen base, 1,406, if anybody's wondering. That's how many stolen bases Ricky has. I don't think it'll ever be broken, ever. I don't see...
Franchises in decades don't have that many stolen bases.
Yeah, I do not see it happening. What's funny is he also leads the league in being caught, too. But that's just because he stole bases so much.
Sure.
And then also the runs record, 2,295 runs scored. That is just an unbelievable number. What's funny about this, when you brought up Ricky Henderson, that you wanted him in the canon, I have titled this on the Kept Faith podcast several times, but you know, when the 94 strike happened, I was really, it turned me on baseball. I just didn't, you know, I was 14. I didn't really want to get into the economics of baseball. I didn't care. I just wanted to go skateboard, and that's what I did. And I was just mad at baseball for stopping and seemingly ruining it for everybody. It took the 98 World Series to get me back into baseball again. And when I did, I was, you know, full steam ahead, back on board. And so I didn't get to see Ricky in 96. I had, you know, I had known that he was a Padre in 96, but I never watched. So 2001 was my first Padres go around with Ricky. And here's two fun things, Craig, is I was in the stands when he broke the walks record at the time, which Barry later broke. I was in the stands for that. And I was also in the stands when he broke the runs record and hit that home run.
Amazing.
And it just happened to be that, you know, in those days and that those days of the Murph, we all, you know, you would buy $15 tickets and then you would just go wherever you wanted.
Yeah.
Sit where you want. And we'd always be in the outfield and we'd always go right to the front of the outfield, right field. And it's one of those things where you think back to yourself, you're like, I was so fortunate that I got to be in the stands for these events. And I remember people erupting for the runs thing, but I also remember people erupting for him breaking the walks record. Like I'd never seen it for something so mundane as a walk. I mean, the crowd went nuts and it was so incredibly special to me to be able to see somebody like Ricky Henderson, one of the greatest all time to ever do it, break records in person. And he left this just lovely, lovely impression on me. And one other Ricky story from that season, and you probably know this, remember this too, is in 2001, we were playing the Brewers in Milwaukee and Davey Lopes was the manager of the Brewers at the time. And I remember we were beating them, like, I don't know what the score was, but it was like 15-1, seventh inning, and Ricky steals a base. And he gets up and he's looking at the dugout and he's saying something to the dugout, saying something, going back and forth to the dugout. Out comes charging Davey Lopes and he's yelling at Ricky for stealing a base when they're up, you know, 15-1 or whatever it was. He's livid at Ricky and Ricky's just laughing and they're both arguing and they're talking. And then there's I forget who was announcing games at the time in 2001. I think Matty V had to be there, but probably not. Who knows?
Might've been Mel Kiper. I think it was.
Might've been. Yeah. But I just remember them going, you know, this is interesting because Davey and Ricky used to be teammates. And you looked at Ricky and he had just stolen a base in the major leagues. And you look at Davey and he looks like he's 77 years old. Like I never, like it was just so amazing. And it was great that they had this history and Davey was pissed at Ricky. I mean, what a just joyous player to watch. I absolutely adore Ricky Henderson.
Well, you know, the very last thing was the very last day of 2001, a sellout mm-hmm. crowd at Qualcomm Stadium for Tony Gwynn's final game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Tony, you might remember that day, came up in the bottom of the eighth as a pinch hitter and just hit the first pitch on a ground ball to short. And so there was a lot of anticipation for a moment that wasn't very much.
Yeah.
I also seem to remember the like Jose Uribe hitting like a grand slam and the Rockies destroying the day. But the first inning saw Ricky Henderson lead off with a duck snort to right that dropped in for his 3,000th major league hit.
Mm.
So he set the walks record, the runs record, and got his 3,000th major league hit all at age 42 as a San Diego Padre. And that should be enshrined in Padres canon.
You know, it's funny you say he stole 37 bases at age 37. Well, in 2001, at age 42, he had 42 RBIs. So, I mean, obviously, obviously Ricky's smarter than all of us. What I loved about, and you brought up Ricky, you know, talking about himself in the third person. I have to assume he was the originator of this. I could be wrong, but I feel like that stuff really started catching on in the 90s. And I feel Ricky was doing that before the 90s, right? Like, I don't know. I who knows? But I feel like he had to be the third person king. His interviews were just the greatest.
We got to interview him the day after that 3,000th. No, it was the day after the runs record. It was the day after the runs record. We got to interview Ricky and Ben and I sat down. And I remember Dallas being like as nervous for that interview as even though you just because he's like he's a god of baseball.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he is truly one of the, you know, do you get to sit down? Oh, yeah, I remember the time I got to sit down and talk to that Ted Williams.
Yeah.
You know, but this is Ricky Henderson right there in a Padres uniform with Tony. I mean, you know, Tony Gwynn was the all-time legend we were talking to on the daily. And here's Ricky. And, you know, he, like you said, he's a different guy. He was actually kind of a shy person in person, which was part of what was that weird dichotomy of his career. Cause he was so, you know, outlandish on the field. But I mean, I guess people disliked bits of that when he was growing through his career, but everything we love about Fernando Tatis and his flamboyance, trace it back to Ricky Henderson, you know, pimping the jersey. Remember the pops of the jersey?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
On the home runs and taking about four steps out toward the batter's box or circle before, you know, before rounding and the snatch catch out of the outfield, you know, digging up the bases. Today I am the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Just there's no, and Ricky on behalf of Ricky, there's nobody like Ricky Henderson. And the team he played the third most for in his long serving 25 year career was the San Diego Padres.
the third most for. Oh, I love that. I'm going to give off a couple things here. We've been talking about the person obviously a lot and throwing out stats, and Ricky was just a joy to watch. And talking about swagger, I mean, this dude played in the early 80s Oakland teams, which was just full of swagger. He played, and then he played in the late 80s, early 90s Oakland team, which was even more pop and glitz. And I know people a lot of times don't think about that anymore when it comes to Oakland, but there was a time where Oakland was kind of the center of baseball for a little bit. Yeah. He was a part of all of that. Like we talked about advanced stats, people love war. His all-time war career was 111.2. So that's, I guess, good. I don't know.
That's slammed the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Over 3,000 hits, not a huge home run hitter in his career. Wasn't ever focused on that, but like you said, almost hit 300 home runs even without that. His career is too long to go through, you know, with all the awards and all the accolades. But if you know baseball, you should know who Ricky Henderson is. After his Padres career, he wound up being traded to Anaheim for a bunch of players no one ever thinks about anymore. Went back to Oakland in 98, as I mentioned before, and then with the Mets in 99. Had a really good season with the Mets in 99, actually. Hit 315 at age 40. And then Seattle, back to the Padres, then to Boston in 2002, which I totally forgot he played for the Boston Red Sox. And then the last major league stop for him was the Dodgers. And he didn't play in many games, 30 games for the Dodgers, and kind of had a ho-ho season. And then everybody figured he would retire. I mean, there were so many times along the way.
Right.
You're like, you're done, right? This is your last season, right? And he'd be like, well, no. And I remember there was an interview, I think, with him. Oh, man, it was in the paper, 2007 maybe or something like that. He was playing with the Brooklyn Golden Bears. when they were trying to bring baseball back to Brooklyn. And they were like, why are you still playing? And he said, because I want to.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, like that's, you know, that you just don't hear that a lot from professional athletes anymore. And it seems like Ricky just played until he couldn't play anymore. And I mean, he probably still could, but.
Do you remember the very next year was his final professional baseball appearance ever? And it was the 1 year independent league San Diego Surf Dogs.
Oh, that's right. The Surf Dogs.
And Ricky at like 49 was a surf dog and hit a homer and stole a base and did all the Ricky things, you know, even at age 49. And then that was finally it. But, you know, Ricky took immaculate care of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of those players, again, that because of his style and the time he played, instead of being celebrated for his style, he was considered a villain for just being a motive, essentially, and also not being like the most loquacious guy with reporters. Because like I said, he had a little bit of a stutter and he was a little bit shy. Mm-hmm. And so he didn't have that, you know, really great relationship with all the crusty white old men mm-hmm. that were covering the sport of baseball. It would be completely different if Ricky was a player in today's game, but so they didn't talk about his regimen of getting up and doing 100 sit-ups every day and 100 push-ups and just how he at 42 with the Padres had a washboard stomach, you know? I mean, and it's like, he's an unreal character in the history of baseball.
He's fantastic. All right. Well, listen, we've given you the numbers. We've given you the personal attachments to Ricky Henderson. At this point, Craig, it comes down to me asking you, do you think that Ricky Henderson, when we open the big history book of the San Diego Padres, the canon, and we see a page, a footnote, a paragraph, would Ricky Henderson belong in one of those?
It would be a travesty were he not there, because on those pages, like throughout the base paths of his career, Ricky gets on.
Oh my God. Well, listen, my vote, I'm still iffy. I'm going to be honest. I obviously have a lot of emotional attachment just by watching him as a Padre, but I almost feel like he's too big to be to be in the canon. Maybe he's in the MLB canon. I don't know. I honestly can't say yes. I want to say yes, but also I want to say no. And I feel terrible for wanting to say no. But it's not up to us. Ultimately, we've given you the votes, how we feel. I'm 50-50. Craig's all in. It's up to you, the listener. Go to the Kept Faith at Twitter, at the Kept Faith. It'll be in the pinned tweet right after you listen to this podcast. Does Ricky Henderson belong in the Padres canon? It's a simple yes or no. All you have to do is vote. You are the ultimate deciding factor. Once the votes are tallied, it will let you know where it lands. I have a feeling he's going to make it. But who knows? Sometimes trolls got to troll and debates need to be made. So you never know what's going to happen. Craig, I thank you for being on Padres Canon with me. And go listen to Craig on Padres Hot Tub with the aforementioned John Gennaro. And you can follow Craig on Twitter at 619sports, which is fantastic that you have that Twitter handle still. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to give it up, right?
Well, why would you? That's such a great handle. I feel like there's so many Padres Twitter people are like, God damn it. I can only get that. I'm going to do A58 Sports. It's going to be a lot less interesting and pretty much just about pho. Anyway, Craig, thanks for being on.
That's a good one.
I appreciate it, man.